Thank you, Brother Sanjay, for the word. And I have taken the printout of the 10 values and I have kept it on my table so that I could see very often. And others who come and sit on my room also will be able to see that one. And it gives inspiration and it pulls me back to the Christian values in the workplace. I thank God for the prophetic word in the church, and we are really privileged to be in the church, protected, challenged to live for the Lord and to glorify God in whatever we do. I would like to share five things. We'll start from Luke chapter 5. Jesus was in the seashore and he was looking for some place where he could sit and teach people. And he saw many boats available. Out of them, two boats were empty. The fishermen emptied their boat and it was available. So he chose one of the boats and sat on the boat to teach the people. And it was the boat of Simon's. Simon gave his boat for Jesus to sit and reach out to people. Yeah, it was Simon's profession, and he allowed Jesus to be there to reach the people. Whatever profession we do, especially in the colleges and schools, it's an opportunity for us to have Jesus to reach out to people in the workplace. I read one text in a house. You may be the only Bible some people would ever see. You may be the only Bible some people would ever see. One of my friends asked me, is your Bible like Mahabharata and Ramayana? It's an epic, all imaginary stories. Or is really Jesus born? Is there a place called Bethlehem? Many times we take for granted that people know what we know, at least the fundamentals, but they do not know. For them, they would not have seen the Bible, the Word of God. They would not have heard about Jesus. But remember, you may be the only Bible they would ever see. So it's an opportunity for us to interact with the children, and the students and their adolescent. They have come with all the struggles, with confusion. They are there to create an identity for them. And they are looking for role models. And it is an opportunity for us to be a role model in the colleges where we teach. And we are the ambassadors for Christ. John 10:25, Jesus says, the works that I do testify me. So in the same way, the work that we do in a workplace, the way we teach, the way we prepare our lessons, the way we interact, they testify about us, what kind of life we have, what kind of God we follow. Somebody said, God has not called the world to go to church, but the church to go to the world, go into the world and preach and teach. So those who are in the colleges and schools, it's a great opportunity that we are working with people. Earlier we listened to how we can be a testimony in the workplace. Probably in those workplaces we have to deal with machines and computers and other things. But teaching profession, you are dealing with people, young students. It's an opportunity for us. And how we work, how we do, it's going to affect the people. It may prepare the people, students. If somebody in future are going to share about Jesus Christ, immediately he will remember the Christian teacher who was teaching me. And if we have done a very slipshod work without teaching properly and giving the classes to somebody else, no, he is not going to listen to the gospel. One doctor was teaching in a medical college, and she presented the gospel, but the others refused. We know how you Christians are. There are some Christian doctors who don't wear jewels, and very fanatic Christians, and they get irritated and they get angry very soon, and they said, we're not here to listen to such a God. So our life has more volume than our words. How we are going to be in the class for an hour with the children for one semester, how we are going to teach, and how we are going to prepare our lessons. We read in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 29 that Jesus spoke with authority because he had a life backing up. Unless you prepare your lessons very well, you know what to do in the class, you are not going to have confidence. If you want to have confidence, a thorough preparation has to be made. Jesus also taught people in many ways. I remember long time back I saw Jesus film where he was walking in one of the Jewish villages, and there were a lot of grains heaped in front of the house, and he was reaching out to a measure which was kept upside down. He opens and there's a lamb, and he immediately says, no one will cover the lamb with a bushel or a measure. It will not give light. Then he takes some grains and he's taking the people along with him walking, and some seeds are falling on the wayside, and then he throws some seeds when they are crossing a rocky ground, and then they reach a good land, and he explains to them, full of activities, illustrations. I remember Brazak used to say, all the illustrations are like windows into a hall which brings light so that people are able to see clearly. So activity-based learning needs more preparation than simply give teaching. Whenever I go to some classes, take some models and show to them. That increases the curiosity of the students. One history professor told me that he used to take a coin and he will twist the coin, toss the coin, and he'll ask a question, do you know which country's coin it is? He will not immediately answer. The entire class will go on. And then at the end, he would say that the curiosity and the attention is drawn towards the teacher, because it's like a string which is sharing, which is going to share at the end. So think of some creative ways of doing things inside the classroom where students are attentive. Unless there is a discipline in the class, people will not be able to listen to what you are going to teach. And this is showed about the flowers, the fields, and like that, it was an interesting teaching session. Next is our attitude. How do I see students when I go to the class? James 3:9 says that they are all created in the image of God. How can we curse them? So everybody, am I seeing them as somebody who is created in the image of God? How can I insult them? We should never insult them in front of the others. But we love to be very firm and disciplined. Otherwise, they will take us for a ride. We should never comment on their physical feature. Look at your face, how it is. No, it will hurt them, hurt their feelings. They will close down. After that, whatever you say, they will close their mind, will not be able to reach their mind. Our attitude is very, very important. More than my lessons, students are important. And do I care for them? Somebody said, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Through Jesus' ministry, he cared for people. We heard that Jesus went around doing good. He cared for poor people. He cared for weak people. He cared for sick people. And once people knew that he was caring for them, it was easy for them to listen to his words of life. So how do I show my attitude to the students? The students were struggling who are weak. One professor came and told that this particular student is very irregular and he has to be suspended and very strict action has to be taken. Then I thought there should be a reason. When I called him and asked him, he told me, I told the professor, before we take action, let me just talk to the person or find out his background. And he said his father died, mother committed suicide, and only one brother he had. His brother had a love failure and he also committed a suicide. And he has left a shop from which he gets some rent. With that he is studying. And one uncle and aunt who are taking care of him are in Gulf. They are not here. Many times I go to seashore and stand there. Why should I leave? What's the purpose? Shall I jump in? No, with this state of mind, if we further take action on him, suspend him, no, it's very, his life is going to be very difficult. So I put in touch with church brothers, young people, because they can easily approach him and they are in contacting him and talking to him. And now we are able to see the development. And James 2:9 says, we should not show partiality. Partiality is a sin. When you take feedback of the faculty members, many of the complaints are that my teacher shows partiality. He has got favorites. We should never show partiality. All of us, we should treat equally. And if somebody does well, we'll have to appreciate, comment on their good things so that others also will be encouraged for such a life, for such a performance. How do we enter into the class? Do we enter into the class with a smile? Or if you have a very tough face, they will say, he had some fight at home and coming. They will easily be able to guess our private life by seeing our face, because a face is the index of a mind. Jesus commented and appreciated people, and we should not hold back. We should appreciate, and it will definitely make a lot of difference in their lives. And when they ask questions, we should be very honest. If we do not know any answer, we should be polite and say, I'm sorry, I do not know. I will refer it until after 2 days or 1 day. Or you can say, refer a book. And we should not pretend as if I know everything and try to put him down. That will make him to lose confidence in our lives. We should also be available for changes. Suppose some colleague comes and says, I want a change in the timetable, or would you please take class? How are we with our colleagues, with our peers? I should not say, no, this is the timetable, I will stick on to it. I am not ready to change. Once we were driving in the 4-lane road and we were going in the right path, and opposite side a lorry was coming. What shall I say? He is wrong, I am right, so I am not going to change. If I say like that, I will end up quarreling with him. So, if he is wrong, why can't I change? Yeah. Availability to adjustment is a sign of maturity. But we should not compromise. We should know the difference. There's a prayer. Lord, give me courage to change the things which I can. Give me grace to accept the things which I can't. And give me the wisdom to know the difference. Many times we are in our work, in many of the organizations, you may be facing difficulties. And certain things you have to accept. If you are able to change, ask God for courage, wisdom, speak to higher authorities and try to bring in a change. And if you can't, you have to accept. And we'll have to know the difference. Your peers may be appreciated. Probably you are working harder than him and management is appreciating him or giving him a promotion. Or how do we take it up? If we accept it, okay, God has allowed it and probably he deserves it. When I accept it, it becomes an inspiration. Okay, let me also do like that. Let me also work hard and do like that. I'm inspired. But if I'm not able to accept, I have jealousy. Jealousy will come into it. We heard how jealousy can ruin our life. Then accountability, keeping our commitments in submission of the records, or higher ups may be asking for some inspection, you have to complete this. If you say, yeah, I will give tomorrow, means you sit late night and prepare it and give it. We should not tell excuses. And somebody is like that and this and that and all, because they will lose confidence. In Genesis, we read how God created the light, and his creation record we see. After doing everything, he said it is good. For us also, it will be good if we take a look at our work and have a review. Weekly, monthly, once in a semester, mid of the semester, or in the academic year. It is good to look at our work. God created the light and he saw the light, so he saw it was good. And he created trees, he saw it was good. But then the lessons we teach, how can we see in the students? We can't see that. So we need to get a feedback from them. Any difficult chapters you didn't understand from my teaching, you please give me. Or what are the things you feel should be changed? Without our boss telling us, if we get a feedback, we will know. And we should not become angry with the student who said, your class is boring. No, we should really be thankful because he had the courage to say the truth. And we should change it. So feedback, we'll have to take it very seriously and improve upon our performance. Sometimes management may give us a feedback. Our peers, we can get a feedback from them. So it should be a continuous improvement. And Jesus said, it is finished. That means he knew what for he came. And he did the work and said, it's finished. Paul says in 2 Timothy 4th chapter, I have finished my race. So we'll have to regularly review. We should not wait till the end to find out whether we have finished or not. Periodically, we'll have to find out. Prepare a neat lesson plan. This subject I should teach, this topic I should teach and finish. I should not sleep and give an excuse. Next thing is quality. We read in Luke chapter 5 and verse 4, Jesus says to Peter, cast your nets in the deep. Go deeper. And when they went deeper, they got lot of fish. And even they were able to help other boats to get their boats filled with the fishes. Go deep. In your preparation, don't follow simply the local author book. Try for good Prentice Hall and John Wiley, good publishers' books you take and read and prepare. Then you will be able to understand the concepts. And nowadays, very good literature is available in the net also. Have a thorough understanding of the concepts. Then only you'll be able to do a good work, a quality work. And you should not feel that initially you are new to the work and many lessons you do not know. You'll have to really work hard. Jesus taught us to work hard. Jesus told us about the five parables, five talents, parable of five talents, two talents and one talent. People work hard and five talents, they made it as 10. So increase your understanding of the concept, the subjects. You have a thorough grip on the subject. Students will respect you, and along with that, if you tell them, they will listen to. We cannot directly tell about the gospel or Jesus Christ in the classroom. It may not be right. But we can teach the principles of the word of God. God will give us opportunities. Lord, give me an opportunity to share your word. Means God will give good opportunities, and we can share what God has done to us. If you want to take one bucket of water from a tank, how many buckets of water the tank should have? If the bucket has, a tank has got one bucket of water, if you draw, you will get only a few grams of water. But the tank should have at least 40 or 50 or 100 buckets of water, then only if you can easily take one bucket full of water. There's some amount of preparation you'll have to do. There was an inn, and one man came to the inn to stay, and the innkeeper said, okay, you can lie under the tree, sleep under the tree, and there's one tap there, you can collect water and take bath and go. So the fellow who came, he slept under the tree, and the next day he took the water from the public tap, and he finished, and while going he gave 3 silver coins, and the innkeeper was amazed. He got 3 silver coins. Next time if he comes, I should treat him very well. So that fellow went, and he didn't understand. And after few months, the same fellow came. This time he really invited him and welcomed him, and arranged a neat bed inside the inn. Good room he provided, and then he made hot water and cared for him, gave him. And that fellow happily stayed, and while he was leaving, he handed over some coins, and he was curious to see it was ordinary coins. He was disappointed. Then asked him, why did you do like that? He told him, the whatever treatment you have given me now, for that I paid earlier, and whatever treatment you gave me then, this is the payment. And so you are working very hard during initial period of time. You may say, I am getting a little salary, why should I prepare my lessons sitting late night and understand and all. You may have a difficulty. You may see, this professor comes only, teaches one subject, or takes only 2 hours or 3 hours. He gets such a large salary. I am getting a little amount of salary. You should not feel like that. Whatever hard work you are preparing and understanding of the subjects, concepts, theories, everything, you know, it will repay you in your later period. That will help you. When you go higher and higher in your experience, that will really help you. So Jesus told about the coins and the good land. God has given us gifts, talents, and through that we will know what about our calling. Then difficulty and challenges. Sometimes in your organization, you may be in a very critical situation where you are asked to sign in a false document or do something which is not correct. How to face such situation? Once I was working in a college, there was a vacuum in the top leadership. And then they called me and said, we'll offer you a good car and good quarters, and you be the principal. I know what has been going on, because they, in order to get funds, they called the people who are on the streets and put them bandages on the leg and hands and head, asked them to sleep on the carts. And when the committee came, they were doctors were paid and brought. So in order to get funds, such false reports were to be prepared and sent. I was not very free to do that one. So I wanted to, at that time I had come to the church and heard the truth. I told my boss at the time, he was a believer, I told him, I will accept this responsibility, and when I take this responsibility, I cannot do anything against my conscience. And that has hurt him, and immediately he gave me a tough time, and he wanted me to quit. I said, why should I quit? And then he humiliated me. And but then we read in Acts 5:29, should we obey God or man? And after that, I was prepared, and my wife also was prepared. Okay, whatever, wherever God shows, we'll go. After that, we went to a small village called Amblike, and God took us there, and God fulfilled all our needs. So when tough situations come, God is on your side to help. We read in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 24, there was a storm and the wind, waves. And if there were no storms, very smooth, we heard Zach telling, if our life is very smooth and without any challenges and all, it will be boring. But there was a storm and wind, and people were afraid, disciples were afraid, and Jesus taught them faith. He rebuked their unbelief. So in your life also, if you are facing a storm, difficult situation, we know for sure that God is teaching us, and we can really become strong. And whenever we join any organization, you know, it is easy for us to make our stand very clear. I keep a Bible on my table, some good magazines, Jeevamuligal, for people who come, you know, we can give. Make yourself very clear that you are a Christian, serious Christian and sincere Christian, then they will understand. Recently, many of Tamil Nadu colleges, you know, the Puja holidays come, either Puja come, and people say, you ought to conduct the Puja, you ought to come there and stand. I heard from one of the brothers in the church, you know, they were compelled, he said, he will not join. And then his wife also had to take a strong stand for that. Otherwise, they will threaten. Otherwise, are you a very man of integrity than us? Why do you are doing that? They will, but they will really appreciate our stand. sometimes we may have to take a very strong stand, and God is with us preparing for our future jobs or future place of work if we are to lose the job by standing for God. Recently I was in a function, called to speak also along with other dignitaries, and one bishop came, and I never knew the procedure. When the bishop comes, no, everybody has to go and bow down, and he will put his ring, no, on your forehead, and you bless, then only you'll have to, you can go and speak. One after the other they were doing. I made up my mind I should not bow my head to this man, and I was prepared, Lord, whatever the consequence is going to be, Lord, give me grace, and made a small prayer. And when he came inside also, they all did like that, and I just shook his hands and sat down. And when my turn came, you know, he stand up and he said, I am about to leave. So he left. When God sees your desire, no, he is there to help you. And if you lack courage, no, he is there to help you. No need for us to be afraid of any man in the world. And God will really help every one of us if we have a desire. Lord, you be on my boat. And Lord, you reach out to people. And definitely, God will help you to have a glorious time in your workplace. And whatever challenges come, you know, people will come asking us, please tell us. Even if we are not directly able to tell, we can tell them, for somebody who is facing difficulty, I will pray for you. One word sufficient. Then they will come again asking for some help, and we can concentrate, pray for him, and we can lead him to the Christ, to the Lord. So it's an opportunity, and we can definitely ask God for grace, so that in our workplace, especially in the colleges and schools, will be a real witness for Christ. As I said earlier, we may be the only Bible some people would ever see. And may God help us to be shining witnesses for the God in the days to come. Amen.
Since we had to have two people speaking in the session, I told both of them, you can take between 30 and 40 minutes so that we could finish by 1 o'clock. Between 30 and 40 minutes. You know how much they took? 30 minutes each. I have been in numerous church meetings where people are told, can you please take 3 minutes? They take 10 minutes. Many times I've seen it. What they think is, this elder is stupid. He doesn't know how important what I have to say is. So forget the stupidity of the elder. Here I am to speak. It's one of the most important things you should learn from the speaking of these two brothers is to stick to time. I've rarely seen Christian people who speak stick to time. Rarely in my life. These are two exceptions. That if they are told 30 to 40 minutes, they take the lesser time, not the upper time. It's all a question of how important you think you are. All of you can hear. Because in many of our churches, this is the problem. I've told elder brothers in our churches, most of you brothers have got the ability to speak for 20 minutes. That's all. I've gauged you. Some really good brothers can speak 45 minutes. But I have heard that some elders take 1 hour, 2 hours. Can you believe it? And people sit in the church and get bored, stiff. But they say, oh, we've got to submit to the elders. It's absolutely pathetic. Pathetic, pathetic. If God has given you grace, people will recognize it. If you don't believe me, I would suggest to all elders to ask their congregation to put an anonymous note in the offering box. What I think of your message, your preaching. Whether I believe you keep time or not. Don't ask them to put their name, because they'll be scared, because you're such a tyrant, you'll hammer them after that. Anonymously. And tell them also to disguise their handwriting so that you cannot even detect who it is. We will have a revival in our churches. The elders will repent. Very, very important. You can speak as long as you like if God has given you grace for that. And if everybody in the church does not feel that you have grace for that, dear brother, humble yourself. It's a very important lesson, especially for those who think they are senior elders. I have been to meetings where I was initially told to speak for 45 minutes, and then even recently in one Pentecostal conference they invited me in the United States. They cut me down. I said, okay, fine. I remember another place where the person who was leading the meeting didn't like me, and he told me he's going to give me 45 minutes, and he gave me about 5 minutes. And I said, brother, already people have heard so much, so I don't think I'll share anything. It's okay. And I said, it's okay. I remember A.W. Tozer, who was a great man of God. He was once invited for a Youth for Christ conference. And he was a prophet. He couldn't care less for anybody. He was a rare man. It's very rare that you find such preachers. I think A.W. Tozer was a man among a million, a true prophet, one who lived before God and couldn't care less for men. So in this Youth for Christ program, they had a huge program, two and a half hours with skits and songs and this thing and that thing and the other thing. You know how these Youth for Christ programs are. And finally, they had about 10 minutes left for the message. And they said, Brother Tozer, we have had so many things. Some of these things took a little longer than we expected. So we can't give you the 45 minutes we promised. Can you take 10 minutes? So he got up and he said, well, the message the Lord's given me is 45 minutes. So but I see that you don't have time for it. So may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. And he sat down. That was a man of God. And they remembered that message more than if he had preached for 45 minutes. There was something that an American president was president of the United States in 1913, called Woodrow Wilson, wrote, which I have copied down. He said, if you want me to speak for 10 minutes, I need 1 week to prepare for that. If you want me to speak for 15 minutes, I need 3 days to prepare for that. If you want me to speak for half an hour, I need only 2 days. If you want me to speak for 1 hour, I'm ready to speak right now. You get the point that you can wander and wander and wander. And some people just get up and go from Genesis to Revelation and back to Genesis and here and there and tell all types of useless things. And it's an insult to the Holy Spirit what is happening in many, many churches. I saw it in Babylon. I've now seen it in CFC. It's very sad. Babylon is coming into CFC slowly in this way, because God's servants are not on their face seeking God. They're not listening to the Holy Spirit when they stand in the pulpit. When the Spirit of God says, you're finished, sit down. I see many preachers like this. They've got a basket. There's something valuable there. And they've given it out over a period of time. And then the basket is empty and they keep shaking it, shaking it, shaking. There's nothing in it. I've seen people who were excellent for the first 20 minutes and they spoiled the whole thing by speaking for another 15 minutes. It's like a carpenter who is making a table and the table's perfect. Everything's perfect, shining in. Oh, he says, I've still got half an hour to work. It's not yet 5 o'clock. So he starts his plane and starts planing it again. Messes up the whole thing. That's exactly the picture I get when I've heard some people speak. But it's not been like that here. I thank God in this conference. Even Brother Joji, I asked him to speak for 45 minutes. He just stopped at 45 minutes and got down. These are marks of people who have learned submission to authority. And I tell you, God blesses it. I've learned that myself. I've been to places where, when I was on speaking on radio programs, they said 12 minutes. Now, the wonderful thing about radio programs is you can continue speaking after 12 minutes, but they've switched off. The rest is in the air because the program is over. So what you want to say, you've got to time it exactly. I used to keep a clock there in front of me. Do you know that when I speak, I always look at that clock. I look at when I begin, and I look at when I finish. I don't have such a control of thinking exactly. But I want to encourage all elders to be disciplined, to ask your flock, are they really gripped by what you're saying? Very important. Or they're always looking at their watch and shaking it and saying, has my watch stopped or whatnot? No, I really believe, you know, I wanted all my life to preach the way Jesus preached. I wanted to walk as Jesus walked. I want to pray like Jesus prayed all the time. I wanted to treat people, I want to treat little children the way Jesus treated little children. And particularly when in the pulpit, I want to preach like Jesus preached. That means use a lot of illustrations, because Jesus was a master of illustrations. And I studied it and studied it and said, Lord, that's the way I want. If you have a passion, God will do it for you. You know, Jesus was never boring. I was, you know, Matthew 7 verse 29. It says when Jesus finished the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7:29, it says, the result was, verse 28, when Jesus finished these words, the multitudes were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as the scribes. I want to read that same two verses in the Message paraphrase. When Jesus concluded his message, the crowd burst into applause. They had never heard teaching like this. It was apparent or very clear that Jesus was living everything that he was saying. Quite a contrast to their religious teachers. This was the best teaching they had ever heard, because he was living what he was saying. And that is the meaning of authority. Authority comes from two sources. One is the Holy Spirit anointing us, giving us gifts. And the other is the Holy Spirit anointing us to live before we speak. So I want to encourage you, my dear brothers and sisters, not only the elders, but we encourage in our church a new generation to grow up, to share, and seek God earnestly for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Seek God for prophecy. God is my witness that for 50 years I have kept on praying to God, Lord, give me the gift of prophecy. I started praying for that when I was 22, more than 50 years. Lord, give me the gift of prophecy. You told me to earnestly desire to prophesy. I want to prophesy to encourage. I don't want to predict the future. I have no interest in that. I want to speak to people, like it says in 1 Corinthians 14:3, to encourage and exhort, and that is challenge, and to edify. Encourage, exhort, edify, which means challenge, comfort, build up. And I'm praying for that even today. Whenever I get up to speak, I say, Lord, give me the gift of prophecy. Give me a word exactly according to the need of the people here. Don't let me bore anybody. Do you know that boring people is like stealing money? See, if a person is earning, nowadays people earn about, some people in Bangalore, even on an average, earn about 40,000 rupees a month. And if they have 40 hours a week, into 4 weeks, 160 hours, it's quite a bit of money, you know. When how much does that work out to? About 20, 30, 50 rupees an hour almost to what they're earning. Even on average, yeah, ordinary people earning 50 to 100 rupees an hour. So let's take a bare minimum. Supposing a person is earning 50 rupees an hour. And it's like even laborers earn that. And people are earning more than that. And here are 50 people sitting like that in the congregation. 50 into 50 per hour is 2,500 rupees. And if you have wasted 15 minutes of their time boring them, you have stolen 600 rupees. Yes, time is money. You don't realize that. You would never dream of putting your hand into their pocket and stealing their money. But we do it. So take that very seriously. I hope in CFC there'll be a revival of people really being concerned that they don't get up to just air their views and talk about everything under the sun, but really seek to prophesy that there'll be an anointing upon you. It takes time. You've got to wait upon the Lord. You've got to have a constant heart of preparation, of humility. And I believe that God gives grace to the humble. And if you're humble, God will give you grace. You know, in many parts of Kerala, particularly in other places, they despise preachers. Because a lot of the, particularly Pentecostal pastors and others, almost 90% of them, come from lower classes, uneducated. And many of them, when children don't do well in school, they say, let's send them to Bible college. I mean, if they are really brilliant, let's make them engineers and teachers. If they don't do well in school, we'll send them to Bible college. They'll become pastors. This is a tradition. The end result is people go not because God's called them. Because they failed in school, they go to Bible college. And then 4 or 5 years later, they are pastors. And so intelligent people look at this and say, who are these people who go around preaching? They're uneducated people who had nothing else to do. They wanted to earn a living. They couldn't earn a living in the secular world. So they decided to become preachers and earn a living from gullible people. And they get up there and preach and yell and scream and wave their hands and shout and collect money at the end of the month. And a lot of people despise them. And I felt in CFC, we've got to show that it's different. That we believe in ordinary, unlearned people also who can be godly, and we have them in our churches. You go to some of the Tamil Nadu villages and you'll see brothers who are godly people who are leading those churches. At the same time, we have PhDs and highly educated people, the whole range of them. And we have to show that in God's eyes, this makes no difference. And that people who are doing well in their profession, like Vincent, who's excelled in his academic field, and Sanjay in the business field, that they are also wholehearted Christians. That's a great testimony for Christ, and that's why I wanted you to hear them, so that we don't think that Christianity is only for those who can't speak English or don't do well in their professions. That we can be an outstanding witness for Christ wherever we are, even if you're an ordinary farmer or a laborer who is illiterate or a PhD. So I trust that in the days to come in CFC, we'll have that range. No Jew, no Gentile, no educated, no uneducated. All are one in Christ. Because I have seen that even in our midst in CFC, some people despise the educated ones. And they value the uneducated ones. This guy is too high up, so we can't really respect him. And just like in some other Pentecostal churches, they value the educated ones. So in our church, we value those who are godly and who are humble. Those are the only ones we respect. We don't care two hoots for their education or lack of education. One or the other thing makes no difference. If you're a godly, humble person, and if your words are anointed by God and speak to our heart, we love to listen to such brothers. And we pray that there'll be more and more such brothers and sisters, especially among our elders in all of our churches. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will help us to absorb the lessons we have heard today and to make us, many of us, more than 99% of us working in secular fields, will know how to be witnesses for you in those fields. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.